time to tell me the truth, to burden your mouth for what you say, and pieces of paper in the way.
Welcome to Between the Lines, a monthly magazine show on the third Thursday of every month at 2 p.m. I'm your host, Anne Forbes Cooper.
I can't continue pretending to choose these opposite sides on which we fall, loving you later as if at all. No right minds could wrong be this many times.
What do you do to mark the 1 year anniversary of a hurricane called Irene, which has caused record flooding and devastation, destroyed businesses, homes, livelihoods, and changed lives forever? Why? You have a mud fest, of course.
Very early on, when I attended meetings in the community, of the community, few people with famous senses of humor started kicking around the idea of a mud fest. And I think it was, you know, a kind of gallows humor. It was very early on after the flood, and they were dreaming of the things that they would have at this mud fest. So one of the things they wanted was a demolition derby, because they felt that that was what the flood had felt like to them, someone said to me. They wanted mud wrestling. They wanted mud slides, both literally and the vodka drink. They wanted mud facials and mud fountains made out of chocolate, and it just went on and on and on. Mud pies. This list kept growing and growing and growing, and it was great because we all laughed.
That was Caroline Bennett, historian of the town of Prattsville and the curator slash director of the Zadek Pratt Museum, named for the founder of Prattsville, a small community in the northwest corner of Greene County, and that was one of the hardest hit by Hurricane Irene.
And then a group of, they're young, I say young relative to me, they have young growing families in Prattsville, so they really are the future of Prattsville. So what happened is they decided it was a good idea to have Mudfest. And while it's not going to be a demolition derby, there will be mud games, there is going to be a play about the effects of the flood, there are going to be vendors. So it will be a kind of mini celebration, I think, of their resilience and their having come out of something that was a real negative with a positive spirit. And I think that's what Mudfest is. It's saying to themselves and the world, okay, this happened, but we're going to take mud and we're going to make mud pies. At one point, we were kicking around a tagline for the town, and someone said, the little town with the big sense of humor. But that was the one that I liked the best, because I think it's really true. You know, it's a very small, tight, still in many ways 19th century community in many of its values. And they're lucky that one of those values is a sense of humor.
Almost 1 year ago, on August the 28th, Hurricane Irene hit mainland USA with what turned out to be a 1-2 punch. First came the torrential rains and raging winds. Next, rivers and streams burst their banks, flooding the surrounding areas and destroying much of what lay in their paths. WGXC is dedicating its coverage over the weekend of August 28th to September the 3rd, 2012, to After the Flood, a look back at the record-breaking weather calamity that rocked our region. Back to tales of After the Flood.
The geology of a place like Prattsville is quite resilient, in that very little real modification of the landscape has occurred. The damages to the people, the damages to their houses, and the geology ended up very much as it had been previous.
That was the Catskill geologist, Robert Titus, professor of geology at Hartwick College, who, along with his wife, Johanna, who is Professor of Biology at Dutchess College in Poughkeepsie, has been keeping track and writing about the impact of Hurricane Irene.
My wife and I started exploring just 2 days after the hurricane was gone. Well, we try to be a scientist, we try to be a geologist in our explorations, and we've seen the same pattern over and over and over again. Prattsville was built on an ice age feature that I called an alluvial fan. It's a heap of sediment that was transported into the Schoharie Creek Valley by a stream at the close of the ice age. And that's exactly what happened in Margaretville. It's what happened in Middleburg. It's happened in Schoharie. All of these towns are constructed upon the same kind of ice age feature called an alluvial fan. And all of these fans rise up above the level of the river, Schoharie Creek. All of them gave a false sense of security by raising above the level of the river. People felt, aha, we're safe. The flood won't reach us. But I like to liken it to what happens when you squeeze a garden hose. When you squeeze the nozzle of a hose, you increase the speed of the water, and you increase the power of the water. You'll do that any time that you wash your car. The alluvial fan acts like a thumb on a garden hose. It increased the speed of water passing through the town, and it increased the power of the water. I call this the garden hose hypothesis for what happened to these villages. I don't know that this has been recognized in the past. I've been publishing my ideas in Catskill Life magazine and trying to develop a formal scientific theory to explain what happened.
And when was the last time anything as major as this happened on this kind of level with this amount of rain?
Well, there was an awful hurricane in 1869, but as you can well imagine, the collective memory of that is not very strong anymore. This sort of thing does happen and will happen. It's separated by decades, even sometimes by centuries. But these horrible events can be expected to return. And we hope they won't, but they certainly will if we're just wait long enough.
Do you think that this sort of thing could happen again?
Yes. I would say with great certainty that the next time we have an enormous hurricane, such as Irene was, where 16 inches of rain came down in the eastern Catskills, that there would be an exact duplicate of what happened. The water would back up when it reaches Prattsville and then try to squeeze through the Prattsville area and not be able to, and the result would be a flood.
And have there been any efforts to prevent this from happening again?
Yes, indeed. They have put up they've done some channelization. They have put up a wall of very sizable boulders mounted on a berm of sediment. It's very doubtful that this will have any real positive influence, and the next time this happens, I suspect the flood will just simply go right into town in much the same way as it did this time.
And here's Caroline Bennett again.
Many of the businesses on Main Street are back. You can see that. That's very visible. And a few of the homeowners are back. I think a lot of the homeowners, though, haven't decided, on Main Street this is, whether they're coming back or not. So I'm not sure of how many. I'm going to take a guesstimate and say, please, anyone listening, if I'm wrong, I apologize, but maybe 120, 130 families on Main Street. And I'm going to guess that of those families, I think this is a generous guesstimate, there might be 30 that are living back in their homes. Many of them, again, young people. I say young, maybe they're in their 30s or their 40s, who are business owners, just went ahead and opened, and some of them are building larger. They're reinvesting in the town so that Jim Eisel of Great American is now building in his parking lot closer to the Prattsville Diner, a bank of, can't think of another word, but a row of stores, four of them, with room for more growth, and he already has renters for three. And anyone that has seen what the Youngs are doing over there at Agway, they're rebuilding not only bigger, but better. It's incredible what they're doing over there. So that's a real investment of time, money, and faith in the town. Of course, the O'Haras did that very early on also. So, yeah, I definitely think that this is one way to say to the world, come and see, we're back on our feet, and we're viable, and we're going to grow. Although, you know, some of the ways in which they'll grow are still up in the air, because you'll see a lot of vacant houses, because it's not certain at this point whether they will be knocked down or whether the people will rebuild. So, but I think in the next year or two, you will see some people make decisions that they just weren't able to make in the first year following the flood.
We know what the short-term impact of Hurricane Irene was, but what would you say the long-term impact would be?
Well, there's only one possible long-term impact, and it's on people. And gradually, we learned that you can't build villages in places that sooner or later are going to experience disasters of this sort. Prattsville looked like a good bet. It's elevated 20 to 30 feet above the level of the river. It must have looked very safe 150 years ago when people were building the town. But the problem is that too much water was squeezed into that stretch of the valley. And it rose those 20, 25 feet above the level of Schoharie Creek, and it thus rushed into town and through town. Any new building in Prattsville should be pulled away from the river and pulled in an uphill direction. And people who live in Prattsville should be aware that what they saw, they can see again. And the same, of course, applies to Windham, Schoharie, Middleburg. We really can't just pick upon poor Prattsville.
Here's Carolyn Bennett again, talking about the recovery efforts at the Zadig Pratt Museum.
Well, thanks to the generosity of a lot of people, and I'm not going to name them here. They know who they are, so many that I couldn't name. We are viable in a way that many thought we wouldn't be after the storm. But with that said, I mean, we opened our doors with an exhibit by Larry Gambin, and we did so in the museum not only to show the effects of the flood and part of the recovery, but also to show how the museum was affected. And we own three historic buildings on Main Street. We're committed to restoring all three of them to their correct period look, the museum being the primary one. But we face a number of, we're taking, I think, all of our challenges short, long-term, meaning, if you hyphenate that word, that in short-term, we need $25,000 in order to dry out the documents that we did find funding for to freeze as part of the freeze-dry stabilization process. Once those documents have been, that's the entire paper collection of the museum, once they've been dried, they can be shipped back home, and then little by little, in the long term, we'll work on having them conserved, because having them dried isn't the same as having them returned to the condition that they were before the flood. It just means that they're stabilized and so they won't deteriorate. We have a lot of Pratt furniture that was in frozen storage, cold storage. It's coming back to the museum on the 28th of August from where it's been stored. We had to store it there because we had to strip the first floor of about three-quarters of its walls, so you see studs when you come in. But it'll be returned, and I'm working with a furniture conservator who says that it can, at this point, dry naturally. And again, we will photograph it, and we will then try to find individual donors, foundations that might want to adopt a piece of furniture that they'd like to see us restore. Of course, the buildings themselves, we were very lucky to be given money to do historic structures reports for two of our three buildings, the museum and the commercial building, and that process will start next month. It's a team headed by restoration architect Marilyn Kaplan, and I really have to say thank you to the O'Connor Foundation, which has been incredible to us. They funded the historic structures reports, and that's the first step in any process towards leveraging the money to actually do the restoration, the bricks and mortar work. So we're moving along slowly, and when I say short hyphen long, what I mean is that we're sort of looking at it as a circle instead of a line. So in the center of the circle is, we're looking at anything that belonged to Zadig Pratt or his family, and then we're restoring that. We move out of the circle to anything that relates to Prattsville, first in the period of his life, and then, you know, we had a collection that included things, the whole 20th century. We had scrapbooks of Prattsville in the 20th century. So we'll restore that in the second circle. The third circle is Greene County, and we'll look at our collections, and if we can return anything to other towns and organizations, we will do that by deacquisition. And that's about it. So that's our plan, and we need help.
And if you've just joined us, you're listening to Between the Lines. I'm Anne Forbes Cooper, and we're looking at the community of Prattsville 1 year after Hurricane Irene. Here's Larry Gambon, local wildlife and nature photographer, talking about his exhibition that's currently up at the Zadig Pratt Museum.
I guess probably three components to the show. I have just some photos tacked to the wall at the entrance, just of the destruction and the cleanup at the museum. And then on the two rooms on either side of the entrance, I have photos of the destruction right after the storm, and then of the cleanup, of people coming together and really helping each other and just fixing things, it mainly is. I mean, there were so many things going on. I took photos for mainly about 6 weeks running, and it went from just massive destruction to people fixing. You know, you see the furniture outside, everything drying out, everything being gutted, right down to just seeing like the skeletons of the buildings after a while, where they were just taking everything out and fixing it.
And what's been the reaction of people who have seen the exhibit?
It's a very strange thing. I mean, some people will stand there in the foyer, start crying, and not come in. I've seen a lot of people crying, just going through the exhibit. Other people are stunned, especially people who don't live there. When, if you don't live there, they'll walk around, and they're pretty solemn when they get out. But it's the people who live there, it's the tears. I mean, I do wildlife and nature photography, and my photography is always about, wow, I love this, this is great. This is one of the most difficult things I've ever done. I was really, really surprised that people would just start crying at their photos.
Mm. And you've been pretty close to this whole thing since the hurricane happened. What would you say is the current kind of temperature of the people?
I think they're some of the most determined people I've ever met in my life, to be honest with you. I mean, in certain sections of the town, there's like a building frenzy. They can't get it done fast enough because they really do want to put it behind them. You can see the Agway there, Jim's Agway there. It's coming back so much bigger and better, and they were devastated over it in that area. And I'm just so proud of them because they're really, really putting in such an effort to be bigger and better and to show the town that, you know, it's not down and out. There's big sections of the town that haven't even been touched because of FEMA money, insurance money, and all sorts of problems and paperwork. And it's just amazing. I've heard so many stories about what should not have been done because FEMA has thrown down so many different rules and created new rules on the fly. And despite everything, these people are coming back. They have a spirit that is just amazing.
What do you think are the biggest challenges going forward?
Money, number one, first and foremost. There's a lot of fear that it's going to happen again because the government stops us. This is in the New York City watershed, and all of these creeks and streams used to be dug out and managed, which they're not done anymore. And I know that a lot of people were screaming for the previous 4 years that they needed to get these creeks cleaned out, and nothing was done. And after this flood, there was a lot of anger, because they know it floods up here. And it was just so many rules, you weren't allowed to go into the streams to do anything. And thus the flood.
Do you think that people are optimistic, though, about the future? Do you think that they see things getting better? Do you think they believe things are getting better?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There are some people that are not coming back. But I'm very sure that people are very optimistic. I'm there downtown a couple of times a week, and it's just like the same old Prattsville as far as the people are concerned. There's stretches of town that don't look so hot, but you know, it's just the spirit of the people that's gonna make this come back, and it's just time. It's just time. I'm sort of amazed that it's taking this long, because if you go to Wyndham, everything looks great. Everything looks fine. If you go to Prattsville, it hardly looks good at all. It hardly looks like anything's been touched since the flood.
Mm-hmm. What did you discover through all of this process?
That I'll never live near water. I will never live near a stream. I'm totally stunned by what the power of water can do.
How is it affected you as a photographer? How do you use something like this, other than the exhibition, as a photographer?
I don't know. I'm not even sure I even processed this whole thing yet. It's so different from any photography I've ever done in my life. It's been the most time-consuming project I've ever been involved in. I've put in well over 800 hours on this, mm-hmm. and my wife also. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you just keep going, and the exhibition is in the museum, or what would you, it's there to raise money for the museum, because the museum has been devastated, and there's no funds coming in, and so I'm raising money, and I've sort of become obsessed with doing that, because, you know, you just can't say, well, I'll let other people do it, and I'm friends with all the people in the museum, and, you know, I can do something. And so I do it, and it's costing a lot of time, but there you have it. Someone's got to do something. I think the people of Prattsville are some of the strongest people I've ever met. I really am. They were really knocked back, and despite all the problems that they have, and all the impediments that have been put in their way, they are coming back, and they're going to. They're going to triumph over all their problems. There's no two ways about it. I'm really proud of the people there because they're really trying so hard.
Carolyn, is there anything else that you want people to know about Prattsville?
Well, just want them to know that I believe it's an incredibly important early American town, one of this nation's and New York State's first planned communities. If people knew the history of the town the way that I know it, they would be astounded that we can't have this kind of history here. We sort of equate history with, you know, Massachusetts, Plymouth, and Williamsburg, but we have an equally incredible history in Greene County and in Prattsville. It's just very impressive. And the other thing is that I would like to make a plug for on August 26th, the Sunday of Mudfest, the museum will be holding a live art auction and silent auction from 3 to 5 in the Carriage House to help raise funds for some of the things that you so kindly let me talk about today.
And presumably the other thing you want to tell people is just to show up on that date.
Oh, we're going to have a lot of fun, absolutely, you know, so be prepared to
get muddy.
To all things mud.
All things mud. Should people wear anything special for this?
I think they should wear very casual clothing because on the Sunday at Devasigo Park, which is at the west end of town, and it's a newly coined or minted park. It's been created, I think, to allow some development to go up that way. And there'll be mud games, a mud tug of war, mud slides. So I think you should dress ready to get down and get dirty.
Okay. Well, that's great. Okay, Carolyn, I just want to thank you very much for being on Between the Lines.
And I want to thank you, and I want to thank your station, because during the flood and after the flood, you have been a great friend to Prattsville and to me as well. So thank you.
The preceding show was produced by Free 103.9 at the WGXE Studios in New York.